This is Perek Ches in Hilchos Chol HaMazik, the final chapter in this section of Chol HaMazik. And here the Rambam will be focused on the halachas of Moser. That's also a good transition into the last section of this entire book, which is the halachas of Rotzeach HaShemiras Nefesh. So what's Moser? So halacha Aleph. HaMoser Momo Chavero B'yad Ones Chai V'Sham and Yafashim HaChasav. So someone, the Moser means like a rat, someone who informs to somebody else about a Jew, and to the person he's informing, in this case is Anus, which means someone who's like someone who doesn't like a bully, someone who doesn't follow the law, and is going to take his property because of because of or, okay, let me, or let's say Reuven, what do you call it, knows that Shimon owns certain property, and Reuven tells Chris the Anus, the guy who's doesn't follow the law about it. Now Reuven's chai to pay Shimon from the best part of his property. Vimbase, right? And if the person who was Moser dies, go Yosha Kishar Kamazik, and then we have to collect it from his inheritors like any other people who caused damage. Bensha on his goy, Bensha Yisrael. So it doesn't matter if the person, the barbaric type person, is a non-Jew or if he's a Jew, Hareza HaMoser, the person who ratted him out, Chai Bashalim, Komashalakaf Anas. So he has to pay for everything that the Anas took. Afish lo nasa HaMoser, lo nasa miyado, Elah Hirga Lovad. Even though the what do you call Moser himself didn't actually give over the property to the guy, rather he just informed him about the fact that his friend owned this property or belongings. More is supply. So it only matters when the what do you call it, Moser on his own excuse me, voluntarily gives up this information. Alim ansuhu goyim o Yisrael anas laharos vehera. But let's say what do you call it? He was forced to. Reuben was forced to by the non-Jews or a Jew. To show, then he's put him in tashlum, he doesn't have to pay. Nasam. However, what do you call it? Let's say he actually gave over the property belonging to Shimon to these guys. Afishu anus, even though he's doing it against his will, chai v'shalom, he must pay. Because a person who saves himself with money that belongs to his fellow Jew, he must pay for the damages caused to the other Jew's stuff. What's an example? Let's say the king made a decree, and he said that the decree is that he wants him to bring wine to him, right? V'amad Moser, and Moser stands up. V'amar Hareisha Poni Otsu Yain Otevim Machon Poni. He's Reuben gets up and says, "Listen, Shimon has a whole big storage area of wine located in New York. V'alchu, and then they go and take it. Chai v'sham, he's got to pay. Anso Melech Moser Zeh Achiru Otsu Yain Otevim. Now let's say the king forces the Moser to show him where this storage of wine is." Right. So what do you call it? Show him where that property is, let's say the wine or whatever it is. And because Shimon's running away, onus, and Reuben shows him because he's under duress, then raise a pata. Because if he doesn't end up showing him, he's gonna end up hitting him or possibly killing him. Halacha dalet. So let's say the Moser takes, let's say Reuben the Moser takes Shimon's property and gives it to the to Chris the Anas. Chai v'shalim, he has to pay. Mikol makom, afi shemelcha ansul lahavi. Even if the king forced him to do so. So what does this mean? Ben v'amorim shemim ansul lahavi. So if the what do you call it? What do you call it? Ishim ansul lahavi behavi chayiv. Mishaloi giyam mamal nushos anas. Right. So this only applies in the case where the property. What it called never came into the Anas's domain previously. But let's say what it called. Let's say the Anas comes along and forces Reuven to show him where Shimon's stuff is. And then the Christi Anas stands over the Mamon, the Nasib, right, and then makes it what it called makes it come into his possession. And then forces Reuven to walk him to another place. Even if the Moser himself goes with the guy, he doesn't have to pay for any damages caused. Why? Because once this Anas stood at the side of where, the, let's say, the wine is being stored, it's considered as if all the contents inside were destroyed, and it's as if the wine, so to speak, was destroyed, or the straw in this case, burnt. Okay. Let's say there are two people involved in a court case, all right, over land or movable property. Zemushli or Zemushli, each one says it belongs to them. Now one of the two litigants gets up, and then rats out the other guy's property to the non-Jews. So we put him into a minor form of chayim, actually yachter double kamoshahaya, until it returned back to what it was before. The Yisalik Yad Anas Ben'am, and the person, the Anas, is removed from being involved in their case, so to speak. The Yasu Din Yisrael, and the judgment is going to be accomplished by Jews. Now, Misha Nispas Achavero. Okay, so let's say, what do you call it? So let's say, in this case of Moser, let's say Reuven rats out Shimon to the authorities, and the authorities take him, okay? And as is such, the non-Jews also take his money. Ein Chaver Chavashan. Reuven is not to pay for it. The so there's never a situation where Reuven would be chayav to pay for this type of moser, except for the case of a case where someone is given over to the authorities because of a tax that's applied each year. Or on a gift that everyone is equally obligated to give to the king, because Yavar who a Chayoso, but not he or his soldiers go among them. Then he's a Chayav. Then you'd have to pay him, pay Shimon back for the non-Jews eventually taking his property. Vujichol perish pony as long as what do you call it? This takes place in front of witnesses, and it's clear the money was taken from him, meaning from Shimon, specifically because of what Reuven did. So let's say a person has witnesses that Reuven ratted out Shimon to an Anas. However, the witnesses don't know exactly how much the guy lost. The person who was Moser says, oh, I lost like 10 bucks. And the Moser, the guy who ratted him out, it denies or objects to the amount that he's claiming. So if the person who got Moser takes the funds himself, Amos Yimiado, Ella, he doesn't, we don't take it from him, Ella Nishvam Nikas, he takes a Shvuah, the Zofa Masha Tafas, and he's able to keep what he took. Then Lo Tafas, but if he did not take the Moser's property, Amos Yimiado Moser, Ella Varaya Vura. He can't take from the Moser unless he's got clear proof backing up his claim. Halacha Ches, 1 second. But the Moser who goes ahead and shows, let's say, the non-Jew where the prop Shimon's property is, he's not afforded the right to take a Shvuah to deny him, whether it's a Shvuah, any kind of Shvuah. Because he's an evil person. There's no greater defect than this. But if the Moser was forced to show or forced to give over the property, even he has to pay in a Russia, he's not considered evil. Rather, he's someone who must pay the vad, and therefore he's able to take a shua like anyone else who's considered kasha. So it's forbidden. It's also to rat out a Jew to non-Jews, whether it is whether the danger emerges to the physical person or to his property. Even if the Jew, let's say Shimon in this case, is evil and is a sinner, that filahaya, and even if it causes one a significant amount of like sadness and irritation, anyone who gives up a Jew to the non-Jews, whether it's physically or his property, he loses his portion of the world to come. Okay, now so it's permitted to kill a Moser in any situation, even today, even when we don't have capital punishment. You can kill him before he rats out the Jew. Rather, when he says, I'm going to tell on Shimon, right, about, let's say, I'm going to give him up or his property, if it's a small amount, at that point, Reuben is allowing himself to be killed. And he's warned and told, don't do this, don't rat the guy out. If he says, like, with a little bit of haughtiness, Amar lo. He says, no, I'm going to go ahead and rat him out. It's a mitzvah to kill him. The kolakodim lahar goes up on anyone who kills him first. What do you call it? It's a zchus. Halacha yud. Also Moser shir zamam. Okay, let's say what do you call it? Let's say umasar. So let's say the Moser goes ahead and carries out his threat and tells and rats out Shimon, well, you're Elisha also Lahargo. Then at that point, you can't kill him. The Rambam surmises. Ela im kein hooks off limsor, unless he has a pattern of ratting out Jews. Then you can kill him because you want to prevent him from Moser or other Jews. Well, and it was common in the cities of the West to what do you call it, to punish and kill Moshe, that would go ahead and rat out the property of Jews, the Limsoras and Moshe, and to hand over Moshe to the non-Jews, the Moshe themselves, so they can get killed and punished, etc. So to someone who causes a tremendous amount of pain and difficulties to the Jewish congregation, you can turn him over to the non-Jews, whether it is to kill him or to fine him or put him in jail. But just because one person's getting in pain, you can't do that. You cannot destroy the property that belongs to the person who's a Moser, even though you're allowed to give up his life, because his property can go to his inheritors. Rodef, okay. Rodef, which we're going to explain, Rodef Acher. Let's say a Rodef is what do you call it? Is chasing after a Jew, a Lahargo, Oladaver Avera, and either to kill him or to involve him in some other, what do you call it, Isser, Vishavar Sakalim, and in doing so, and the Rodef breaks some glasses, Bein Shal Nirdaf, Bein Shal Kol Adam, whether it belongs to the person being chased after or it belongs to the person, some other person, Pachim HaShulman, Mejim Mishchai Benavshah. So you're exempt from paying because once the situation Rodef comes, the person he's chasing after is now obligated in capital punishment. Because what do you call it? Since he's pursuing after the other Jew, so that's already the situation where he's giving up rights to life. Now, when a person who's being chased after, right, destroys, let's say, cups belonging to the person chasing after him, he's pater. Because we're going to say his property can't be better or more dear to him than his body. But if he breaks the, let's say, a glass belonging to others, he's chayev. Because the person who saves his own life, the property belonging to someone else, must pay for that. Let's say someone's chasing after Rodef, lahoshia, to save, to save the person he's been chasing after. And he breaks some cups, whether it belongs to the chaser or to any other person, pater from paying. This is not really halachic, rather, it's a rabbinic. Because you don't want to refrain, so to hold someone back from saving another Jew, or maybe you'll hesitate and be very careful and not chase after the rodent. Let's say his ship's about to sink because it's got too much weight in it, and a person stands up, and what he does is he dumps some of the stuff over the side. Pater. So even though he's causing damage to someone else's property, he's pater. Because this extra cargo is considered like a rodef, he's trying to kill the people on board. And he did a wonderful thing by going ahead and saving them. That ends Hilchos Chovel Mazik, and we'll pick up with Rotzeach and Shmiras Nefesh next time.